Man, there shouldn't be a woman named
Ashley. Amen. And Timothy, First Timothy 2 says women can't teach men. That's what it says in the Bible. Women.
Why are most teachers women?
Well, because they're sinful feminists and we're living in a sinful feminist culture.
Well, I came from a sinful world and I came from a sinful family.
Yep, so did I.
We all did.
We all did, but we can repent and walk in righteousness. And you've heard the truth. Now, if you don't repent on Judgment Day, you'll die and go to hell. What?
If I don't repent, I'm still going to heaven.
No, you're not.
My God loves me.
No, you're not. God does not love you while you live in your sin. God does not love you while you live in your sin. Psalm 5:5 says God hates the wicked. Go look it up.
Didn't he also say that go look it up. Arguing was bad too?
No, actually, Paul disputed with everyone in the book of Acts. Jesus disputed with the Pharisees. Okay. It's good to dispute if it brings you to the kingdom. I won't argue with you as a mocker. I'll send you off and say I don't want to talk anymore. But as long as you're listening, you're being respectful, disputing, arguing... Actually, rebuking. I'm lovingly rebuking you. You know what rebuke is? Does anybody know biblically what it means? It's such a strong word in our culture. He rebuked me. Do you know what it means?
No.
Correct. It means to correct you. If you were about to take a razor blade and swallow it, I would say, don't do that. I love you. I'm correcting his actions because I care for his soul. Paul says rebuke those in sin publicly so other people will see and fear.
What is forgiveness?
What is forgiveness? Depends who you're asking.
I'm asking you.
Forgiveness is in Christ, his shed blood, repentance to him, turning from every false way, forsaking all your sin and rebellion that you have, and submitting yourself to God in righteousness because of what Christ has done, walking in the Holy Spirit and seeking the kingdom of God every day, not just at music festivals, not just at religious rituals on Sunday, but saying, God, what do you want for my life? You own me. My body is not my own. I'm walking on your earth. It's your footstool. You give me every breath. You give me every heartbeat. You give me every day. One day I'm going to answer to you. I've got to follow and love you and keep your commandments. Matthew 22, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments keep the entire law. And that's what I'm doing here, loving you and loving God.
Where do you get your information from?
Oh, from the Holy Scriptures. I know what's coming next. Watch. The Holy Scriptures that document who Christ is, the most documented book in the world, and if you want to defy that, go ahead and do it, but you can't.
You need glasses then, because my reading is that he loves me.
Jesus Christ himself says, repent. Unless.
I have done that. I love my God, and I know he loves me.
I know he was saying I don't have to repent, but everyone has to repent. By nature, we are at war with God. Our flesh wants to do everything opposite of God's will for our life.
The Holy Spirit will give you everything you need.
And the ability to do that.
Because it wouldn't be loved on free will.
Look at how God created man.
Yeah. Hey, he's got a wife. Guess what? He's got her locked in the basement, chained at home, and every day he comes home, he forces her to cook for him. Would that be love? No, his wife's waiting for him because she loves him. God wants you to love him with free will. That's why he allowed Adam and Eve to have free will. And
I'm just talking to him, so yes, he does.
And one sin. One sin will put you out of the kingdom of God. And so you can't say the Bible says something it doesn't say. If you live in unrepented sin, the Bible says it's on your record. It's not on Jesus' record. Throw 30 sins at Jesus' feet and say, forgive me of these, and then go. This one, I'm going to keep doing. Those are all on his record. The ones you've forsaken, these are on your record. That's rebellion. That's sin. That's feminism. That's anything.
Is that bad? If I keep listening to my pastor?
I can't hear you.
If I keep listening to my pastor, is that bad?
Well, if your pastor's a heretic, most of them are. What's the name of your church?
First Lutheran.
There you go. Lutheran. Let's talk about Martin Luther. Do you know about Martin Luther? Your church is named after him. He did one good thing. Guess what Martin Luther did? One good thing. You know what it is? Yeah, you're on the right track. I believe the only good thing that Martin Luther did was he left the Catholic Church far enough to actually get the Bible translated into German that eventually went out and got into English and it got spread around. That's the only good thing Martin Luther did. Do you know what Martin Luther agreed with? He was a murderous man. Murderous man. Jesus said if you just want somebody to die, you've committed murder, correct? He was a murderer then. He never killed anybody, but he was a murderer. He said he was such a wicked man. Martin Luther hated the Jews, the Jewish people. He said, you baptize a Jew. How did he say to baptize a Jew? This is his own writings. It's on my website under my Martin Luther tab. Tie a millstone around their neck and throw them in a river. He actually encouraged the slaughter of the people that were rebelling in Germany. He said, cut their throats, shoot them behind the ear, kill a dog any way you can. The words of Martin Luther. Martin Luther baptized babies. Does the Bible teach us to baptize babies? Martin Luther still honored the Pope. He never wanted to leave the Roman Catholic Church. They threw him out because he got mad they were selling the indulgence of sin. It's the only thing he got mad about. He wanted to murder Jews. And this is the most terrible thing. Ready? Martin Luther's writings were used by a famous man in history. Do you know who it was? Adolf Hitler. Martin Luther's writings were used by Adolf Hitler to get the Germans to hate the Jews, to slaughter 11 million
of
them.
That's not Martin Luther's fault, though.
Sure it is. His writing said it. He hated the Jews. He said, kill them.
It's not his fault that Adolf
He was complicit with it. He was complicit with it. So the Lutheran church, to answer that, you shouldn't listen to your pastor. He's teaching you heresy and man-made religion. So you need to open your Bible and test all things, and you'll find the Lutheran church is created by man.
You remember in Isaiah, when God talks about finding Israel as a baby kicking around its own blood.
Israel is what, sir?
As a baby, and he found it kicking around its own blood, and he dressed it, and then put a ring in her nose.
Right.
And then she prostituted herself.
Right, right. Yep.
It's like, why would God want to put a jewelry on it?
Well, because that was a symbol of what was going on in Israel. The Israelites were in their flesh. Look at what happened when they made the golden calf. What did they make the golden calf out of?
Their jewelry. Did he tell them to take their jewelry with them, though, out of Egypt?
No, no, no. They were rebellious, stiff-necked people. And so their jewelry was used to make false gods. And then the New Testament, it tells us not to adorn ourselves, not to in pride and vanity, not to mark up our temples. So it comes down to it. It comes down to, again, how holy do you want to be before God? Ready? People always tell me, you're working for your salvation. Now, you heard the gospel I preach. I can't do any of that without Christ working in me. It's not works. But you know why I want to please God so much? You know why I want to be holy in all my ways? You know why I want to strip my life down? Because it pleases God. Everything I do. So if you had a father that loved you and took care of you and he was a godly man, would you want to do everything in your life to make him pleased and be respectful to him and honor him? Or would you go, I'm going to do most stuff, but you know, the stuff I do, yeah, I'm going to do this because what do I care about pleasing my old man all the time? You would do every single thing. How much do you want to please God in all your ways? And here's a little tip for you as young men. Ready? If something is questionable, I use this my whole life, and after one year of my wife and I studying the Bible by ourselves, because everybody left us. We had no buddy to help us. They all abandoned us. 1 year studying the Bible, I preached in the first year 95% of what I'm preaching to you right here. I had to tweak a few things. I had to tweak my clothing after that. I tweaked the word church. I don't like the word church. The ecclesia, the called out ones. That's who we are. Isaiah actually teaches about that too. He's right about that. He's got some things right. But what I teach people is, ready? Spirit and flesh, kingdom of Satan, kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is spirit, kingdom of Satan is flesh. If anything that you look at and you go, I'm not sure, sinful, godly, which way should you always fall? God way. I've always fallen God's way. I've never said, well, I don't have to do this. Because guess what? When I give the flesh a foothold, what's it going to do? Grow. A little bit of leaven grows. I've always followed the Spirit and always done even more than what God calls me to do. Not because I'm working my way. Guess what? I do a lot more things for my wife than I have to. Why do I do that? Because I love her. She's a gift to me. I couldn't do what I do without her. I don't go, I just do bare minimum, whatever. What do you want to do for God? What has he done for you? What do you want to, like him saying, I'm not going to do this. What are you not going to do for God that you see in his word? And even beyond that, and go, Father, I'm going to glorify you. Jesus told us two things to do in private and one thing to do in public. Do you know what they are?
Pray in private.
Give in private. So you notice? Men like Greg Locke, Isaiah Salvador, they're telling everybody how much money they give away, and they're doing it. Yep, they give. They're praying on TV, putting it all over Facebook. Guess what Jesus said to do in public? He said, go forth and do good works and let men see your good works that it may glorify your Father in heaven. So when people see me do this and they go, why do you videotape, do audios? Why do you put on the internet? Because people find our website. People are glorified. People learn. God is glorified. And I get people walk by and they'll say, shut up. Nobody wants to hear you. Guess what my answer is? God wants to hear me. God told me to go preach. If none of you listened, I'm going to keep preaching. I don't care. It's for my Father. Look at this beautiful creation He gives us. He set me free to go do this. I would never see any of you if I lived my own life, hunting, fishing, living in peace and safety on my homestead. This is why I go. I'm not popular. I don't make money. I don't make a lot of friends doing this. Jesus said you'll be hated. There's another test for you. If the world around you likes you and you fit in, you're not of Jesus. If you're hated for the right reasons, not because you're a jerk, not because you make people angry on purpose. If you're hated for the name and the cause and the gospel of Christ, you're on the right track. If you're liked by everybody, you're like the churchianity systems. You're headed for the wrath of God.
So we're supposed to, I'm only here to volunteer.
It's not worth it.
Help. Maybe if I got famous off the street, it's worth it. New converts to their life. Else not we're supposed to be in there at 7:45.
You want to promote this? I wouldn't.
I
wouldn't promote this.
Not
even godly, I'm sure. And Bob Lentz and Roman Catholicism and yoga. And
I wasn't going to follow the pamphlet. I was just going to follow the spirit.
We were going to test it and read it and see it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not your keeper. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I know what I would do. The Bible says, ready? I'm a Bible guy, Word of God guy. Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. Ready? The Bible doesn't say, does the Bible say flee evil? It says more. Look at the details. Flee all appearance of evil is what it says in Ephesians 5. Anything that even appears evil, flee it. Not if it's pure evil. So ready? Let me give you an example. You have children?
Yeah.
You bring home a pizza. Honey, look at the bottom of this pizza. What's on it? There's mold and maggots. Would you feed your sons and your children that pizza? Why? There's just a little mold and maggots on it. It has the appearance of mold and maggots. Anything that has the appearance of evil, we're to reject. You worship God first. And you should be holy and biblical and godly to Him. Ministry is second. My first charge is my life. My second charge is my wife and my house, since my children are gone. My third charge is the saints I know that I disciple and teach all over the world. And my fourth charge is to go do ministry. If I don't do the first three right, and I'm doing my own life, my house, discipling people all over. We know saints all over the world that we communicate with, because I travel full time. We'll go to people's houses, we'll disciple them, we'll help them start house churches and all this. And then my fourth part is ministry like this. But if I didn't take care of the first three, what good is it? So I would really challenge and question any unity. There's no sin in God. There's no darkness in God. There's no false doctrine in God. When you unite to it, Paul says, don't lay with a harlot. Well, do you know there's physical harlotry? But guess what God hates even worse? Spiritual harlotry.
So I had a liver transplant on liver meds. When, as we know it, the New World Order comes through and I have to take the mark, or they want me to take the mark to get the meds, I have some saved up.
What saved up?
The liver meds. That,
liver meds, yeah.
I'm pretty much guaranteed, like, I would love to be beheaded, but if that
Goodbye,
doesn't happen.
Sir. Have a great day.
Test yourself at my website. Go to the Word of God. Obey Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love you. Email me. We'll help you anytime.
I'd have to pretty much like die in a way that.
Watch yourself. I don't want you to run.
Where my liver, as it rejects. All right. So what happens when my liver rejects? Is it literally messes with my mind, and I can't like pray right because I've already almost died before, and okay. I'm like literally like praying like bad things I had to repent of like. And it just wasn't me. You pretty much go nuts and you are like just angry all the time because the toxins are building up in your body.
Okay. So what are you saying?
Is that going to affect my faith in the end when I'm like literally can't control like...
Well, if somebody like, let's take...
go mentally insane.
Ready? I met a guy who was preaching in Hayward at the Muskie Festival. You ever heard of the Muskie Festival? They have it in Hayward, okay. Up in Hayward, Wisconsin. This guy comes... This always amazes me. We're preaching the whole weekend and everybody, a lot of people ignore and mock. 99% of the people ignore and mock. This is awesome. You guys were listening. They were listening. We've talked to like 50 people out here that seem to be seekers like yourself that won't mock. They're listening. This has been awesome. God's really been blessing us. But up in Hayward, most everybody was rejecting us. This car pulls up and it's got in the back window. Jesus died for me. I'm living for Him. This guy gets out of the car. I'm not kidding you. Like this. It took him 8 minutes to go from that car to get out that distance to me. An 87-year-old guy. He hardly had any mind left. he's telling me, I got Parkinson's. He goes, I can't, I hope I can remember how to get home. And he's shaking. He was telling me, thank you for doing what you do. He brought us some religious literature. He was thanking us. When his mind goes from Parkinson's or whatever, he loves God. He's born of God. You think God's going to judge him if he loses his mental faculties?
It's the anger part that I can't control. He can attest when I call
I don't know anything about that. But what I can tell you is pray to God. God's bigger than your liver.
I know.
He's bigger than your medicine. Trust in the God. Well, but God doesn't always heal. See, this is the thing. Ready? I'm going to prove that Isaiah and Greg Locke and them are a bunch of heretics. They claim they can heal people and it's God's will to heal you. They haven't healed you yet. There's a whole bunch of people saying, go to the cancer wards. Hey, they haven't healed. All these false signs and wonders are deception. Not everyone's going to get healed. Paul told Timothy, take some wine for your stomach's sake. He didn't heal him. How come? The healing power was gone. James says, if any of you are sick,
huh? Is it a sin to drink then?
Oh, it's a sin to get drunk, not to drink. I use wine for the Lord's Supper, but I don't get drunk. I used to be a drunk. I know the difference. But James says, if any of you are sick, oh, just lay hands and cast that demon of illness. You got a demon of the bad liver. Just cast him out. But James doesn't say that. James says, anoint him with oil, call for the elders, lay hands on him, and the prayer of righteous men will save the sick. Now, it doesn't always say you're going to get healed all the time. Paul had infirmities that God wouldn't heal. God's not always going to heal you. I've got health issues, some that could take my life. God keeps sustaining me. God doesn't take them away. You know why? I know why.
I just hate the process of this decay. It's like a month of going nuts.
You got to lose your flesh. God won't take... I know God won't take mine away because it causes me to rely on him more. If God took away all my trials and my tribulations, if God took away this guy that wanted to fight me, God's a big guy, like he's your size, but a big stocky guy, he goes, shut up. I said, I'm not going to shut up, sir. He goes, I'm going to come shut you up with my fist. And I turned to him. I said, sir, I'm not afraid of you. I said, I love you. I said, why are you getting so fleshly? He goes, keep talking. I'm going to bust your teeth out of your mouth. I said, sir, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I said, I'm here in peace and love. He's looking. He was leaning. I know. I'm a fighter. He was leaning in, ready to come. His wife goes, honey, she must know him. Come on. And plus, there was cops right there. It would have been a bad move on his case. The point is, we got to overcome our flesh. Are you willing to die for the cause of Christ? Then none of that matters. Are you willing to suffer for Christ?
Of course.
Then none of that matters.
I just want to make sure my flesh doesn't overpower.
Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord. Give your life to him. Cleanse your life of all sin. Get rid of all rebellion. Walk in righteousness and say, God, make a way for me. Whatever your issues are, he's going to have issues. He's going to have issues. I got issues. God will work within us and make a way for all of us. But the Bible is clear about something. James says, it doesn't say God chases you all over. It doesn't say that. Draw near to God. He draws near to you. You remember the story of the prodigal son? What happened?
As he's coming home, the dad ran.
Dad let him go. Now, do any guys believe in once saved, always saved? Do you guys believe that?
Of course not.
Oh, good. Thank you. Wow, this is amazing. I always use the prodigal son. Yeah, I always use the prodigal son. You know why? Have you read the prodigal son? I think it's the last verse. What does the father say? The other son's jealous. Dad, you never killed a calf for me. And he goes, son, everything I have is yours. You've always been with me. Your brother, ready? If you ever get people to say, oh, you can't lose your salvation. The son was with the father. Who is the dad, an example of God? Who is the son? Us, right? He rebelled and he went into sin. You know what the father says in the last part of the prodigal story, son, the last chapter? Your brother was with us. He was alive. He went into his sin. Your brother was dead, it says. He's come back. He's alive again. Go read it.
Which chapter is
it? I believe that is Luke 15. Luke 15, the end of Luke 15. Maybe he's got his phone. Maybe you want to look it up. Read that last verse of Luke 15 for us. He's alive again. Now, I don't believe you can be born again, born again, born again, born again, but I believe you can be born again alive in Christ. You can leave and go into sin, and you're dead in your sin. You repent, and you come back to your salvation. Okay, yeah. So that's what the Bible teaches. You can lose your salvation. Clearly you can. Hebrews 6 talks about it. Those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and turned away, it's impossible to return them to repentance. You know what that means? Someone like me that's been following Christ. No, Luke 15, the last verse of the chapter. It would be someone like me that has been serving Christ for so long, I turn into sin.
It was right that we should make merry and be... This is the New King James, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again. And was lost and is found.
Go. So to be alive again, that means you were alive, you were dead, now you're alive again. That means you can lose your soul, walk away from your faith. In Hebrews 10, it says, no willful sin is forgiven. So, and Paul talks about in Colossians 1, 22 and 23, I've been dealing with, do you know what dispensationalists are?
I've heard that term. I'm going to be locked up, tortured. I hope you don't make me smoke cigarettes.
What's that?
I'm going to be like being tortured for Christ. I really hope you guys don't make me smoke cigarettes.
The dispensationalists believe only certain books are for us today, and it's a total convoluted theology. But Colossians 1, 22 and 23, Paul says you're walking in the salvation and you have the hope of it if you continue, lest you believed in vain. He says it in 1 Corinthians 15, 2, the famous gospel verse. It says, I got a whole teaching on if verses. You remain in Christ if you have the hope of salvation, if you have a good marriage, if your wife's faithful to you and has a good marriage, if. We are in a blood covenant. We have a part of the blood covenant to keep. And this is a beautiful thing I teach. I don't know anybody that teaches this. I think they want to get through here. Watch out, guys. Ready? The gospel is Jesus' perfect work and what he did. Guess what else is part of the gospel? Your response to it. Think about it. Jesus did his perfect work. He dies and rises again. He sheds his blood. Well, if nobody has to respond to it, well, universalism is true and everybody's going to heaven. I'm wasting my time. I should be hunting and fishing. We're all going to heaven. See you there, guys. No. Jesus sheds his blood, rises again, says, come, follow me. Our response is our will to enter the blood covenant with him like a marriage and then every day strive with him. So the gospel is not just Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's the foundation. The gospel is also your response to it, and you have a part in your salvation. You have a part. Ready? Works is part of your salvation. You can't work your way. Faithfulness is part of his marriage, so is it with mine. You can't work your way to heaven, but you better be working for Christ if you have him. If you're not, you're living in sin. So you ask me, what would you do? Strip your life down, get rid of everything that's not for the kingdom of God, and pray to God and say, God, what would you have me do? What's my service? What's my ministry? What's my gifting? What should I do for you? What shall I surrender?
I've like just been naturally gifted with only like natural gifts I kind of have talent wise is writing songs.
Well,
yeah, there's only worldly songs I stopped.
Well
I have other talents.
Well,
I guess, but not like,
you can write weird ones. Ready? I don't have musical ability. Send me an email, write me some hymns we can sing that are godly and biblical with our lips. Write me some songs. Send me some hymns. Send me an audio of you sing. Yeah. Send me an audio of you or somebody. I don't want, you know, practice. Send me a hymn that we can learn and we can sing. There you go. Use your gifts for God. Not this. Not flesh. Not money.
Like
it's what?
I guess it's kind of more like this. Well, it's a song structure of it.
But hymns, take the flesh out of it. You don't need the music.
What happened to Jesse?
Do you know who brought instruments in after 800 years of them not being in the New Testament body of Christ? The Roman Catholics.
Oh.
They brought an organ in.
I heard that Satan was a god of music. Or like angel of music.
He made a musical instrument.
Well, that's not really true. People say that scriptures allude to that. It doesn't really say that. They get that from it says he's the prince of the power of the air. That's what they talk about. But the Roman Catholics brought an organ back in, and everybody said it was demonic when they did it. Look what you have today. Toby Mac, rap music. The guy's 50 years old acting like he's 18.
Okay, so you have a problem with rap music because of...
Hold on. No, I was
listening
to a 50-year-old
acting like... Yeah. My mom can't listen.
Here, give me your hat. Give me your hat. Let me put it on sideways and walk around. Yo.
He's speaking his testimony. Just the same as you and I are speaking, but it's two.
It's fleshly. It's not the model. God ordained how we sing. You don't have the authority.
He gave him that ability.
You don't. No, he.
Oh no.
Hold on now.
The ability to rhyme and all that.
It is chapter and verse where God gives you the ability to rhyme. Most of his world music is worldly. He tosses in a few verses about God a little bit.
He wasn't a poet in the Psalms? Come on.
The inspired Psalms are totally different than music horror Toby Mac music. The Psalms were totally different. They're spiritual, they're doctrinal, they're sound, they're life. They're God-inspired, they're not music-inspired. Write godly songs and send them to me. There you go, you can use your gifting. But your gifting isn't, you know...
Didn't they play liar, if it's called liar?
Ready? People say, oh, they used Old Testament instruments. Play Old Testament instruments. Harps,
well, I mean,
timbrels.
My thing is, why is a liar and a dirge different from a guitar?
It's not, but that's why we don't use them today, because it's not modeled in the New Testament.
What about one thing I want to ask about casting lots?
What about it? I do it.
Okay, I've always wanted to do it, but I'm scared that it's not.
Is it modeled in the New Testament?
Yeah, they
do it.
Okay, so how do you do it?
How do we do it? Pretty easy. Sometimes we have a decision to make that God hasn't given me direction on or guidance on, and I'm not sure. And I say, Lord, I don't know about this. I'm going to cast my lot. Here's a quarter. Heads or tails? Heads, I'm going here. Tails, I'm going here. Lord, what say you? Tails, we're going this way.
Two?
Yeah.
It's not like a...
Yeah, you can do it any way you want. I mean, you've got liberty to do it.
What if it's like a dice? Doesn't matter?
Okay. You're not using it to play some worldly game for profit and gain and all that. Yeah.
What about playing dice as friends, just like...
A young man that I'm discipling just asked me, hey, everybody's sitting around playing Uno, I think he said. Uno? I used to play board games, but this is so long ago. Uno. And I said, what is Uno? He goes, well, it's this game. And I said, are you playing to win? He said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, is there better things you could do for the kingdom of God and with your time? And he goes, yeah. I said, what else goes on? He goes, they talk about a lot of he works at worldly people that play Uno after hours. I said, how does that further the kingdom of God, playing Uno?
I mean, fellowshipping with your brothers before bed, maybe.
Shouldn't you be in the Word? Who are you fellowshipping with? Jesus ate with sinners, but what did he do? Just hang out with them, or did he preach righteousness to them? Yeah. So everything you do. Did Jesus ever take a vacation?
He would just disappear to go pray alone.
He went, ready? You guys are going to love this. Ready? What is the word that they've stolen in the culture today that Jesus did and used all the time that they've stolen and turned it into a fleshly thing? Ready? Recreation. What does that word mean?
I couldn't tell you.
Look what it says. Recreation. Recreation. Jesus went when he was tired. He went into the creation, his Father's creation. And what did he do? Hunted and fished like a madman. He prayed. He recreated himself. When you want to go and get away, you go and recreate yourself away. My wife and I do that. When we do this for 5 days straight and we talk to hundreds of people and we get all kinds, we're old. We're burnt out. We're toast. We say, Lord, go restore us. We go find a park somewhere and we camp with our van and have a little fire and we just sit and her and I talk about the things of God. We fellowship with some saints online. It recreates us.
You ever just go for a swim and just enjoy yourself?
If nobody's around, my wife and I will slip in the water, but we don't do it in mixed company because that's really, when you go into water, well, first of all, I go in my tunic, which,
oh, really?
Oh yeah, it's also how you can wash them. You just go in and get them all wet and then my wife washes them out for me. But when people put on swimsuits at the beach, what is it? It's their underwear.
Yeah, I
get that,
yeah.
When David danced, they say he was in his underwear. David had a kingly garb. He had a big cape, big kingly garb. He took off his kingly garb. Do you really think he was totally naked dancing in front of people? He had on an ephod. It tells us. What was an ephod? The priest wore an ephod. He actually had an ephod on. It was more coverage than what you guys are wearing.
Wow.
They called it naked when you take off. Here's one for you. Ready? Where do you think we get pants from? I'm wearing pants. There's nothing sinful with pants. God gave us pants. You ever heard of breeches? Go look in the Old Testament. God had the priests go up the temple steps. They were wearing a tunic with nothing underneath. God said, I don't want a man's thigh to show. That was considered nakedness. If your thigh shows in the Bible, that's considered nakedness for a man. A woman, it's actually her leg to show from in the bottom part. So God said, put on breeches. It's in the Old Testament. Look up the word. Breeches were underneath as underwear. Your tunic and your garment was over that. And even if you saw his underwear, he was still covered. Okay, get to the culture, what's happened to breeches? They grew longer. They're man's pants. For centuries, men wore pants. Women wore what?
Can we also forget, though, remember for a second, though, this is what you wear when you come into the actual presence of God, where the veil is torn because Jesus died for our sins, and now we can all, we don't have to dress that way.
You don't have to obey God?
You don't have to be a Levite to come into the presence.
You don't have to obey God?
He is here with us now, and we can talk to him. I'm talking to you.
You don't have to obey God?
You don't have to dress like that.
You don't have to obey God?
Kind of relationship with God.
You're not answering. You don't have to obey God?
Of course we do.
Okay, so if God told people how to dress... If God told people, they shouldn't speak about the things of God with their head covered, should we obey that in 1 Corinthians 11? Paul said it's shameful for a man to have his head covered.
Right, right.
So should you obey that? You ought to take your head off then to respect God. I thought you said you'd...
Wait, what verse is that?
1 Corinthians 11.
You don't let your wife talk in church either.
I thought it was just...
Huh?
Don't let your wife speak in church either, do you?
You don't let me what?
Your wife speak in church.
Oh, of course not.
Right.
Yeah. In the gathered body, why would we? She's witnessing right now to a young man.
Okay. Yeah,
but
I get it.
In a gathered body, if all of us were men, she's going to listen. And my wife knows the Bible as good as I do. I get men all the time. Ready? A man yesterday or the other day at a fair said, your wife follows you around and doesn't say a word. And this guy said to me, he was a big guy. He looked at me and he goes, I bet you beat your wife too. And I looked at him and I said, what did you say? I got right in his face. I said, what did you say? He goes, you probably beat your wife. And I put the video on right in his face. I didn't have it on. And I said, say that on video. It's going to go on my website. Do you have any proof I abused my wife? And he walked away. Because my wife knows when men are teaching and talking, she's quiet. That's what the Bible teaches. And I told this man, my wife knows the word as well as I do. We study together. If God released her on him, she'd shred him with the word of God. But she won't because it's not in her line. It's not in her authority to do so. So we do. This is not Levitical. This is not Levitical. Biblical dress was given in Genesis 3. God covered our temples. This is sin covering, not adornment, not a fashion statement. So differentiate between Old Testament.
You were talking about an Exodus, though. You were talking about what they wore.
Genesis 3. When God put us in a tunic in Genesis 3 at the creation of man.
No.
Genesis 3.
What's Levitical and what's not? Like, what about haircuts?
What's you're not under...
I have your site. I'm going to check you out, man. Awesome, I apologize. Man.
No problem, man. I love you.
Listen.
I love you.
I love you, too.
I love you here for me.
I love you, too.
I love this Bible study with you and go deep in Scripture.
I feel like we could go round and round and round. That's good. It's good.
Yeah, if we go round and round...
Here's the deal.
If we go round and round, you know who's going to win? Jesus
lives. That's right. Can we agree on that? Can we come together on that?
That
no matter what... different denomination, whether you
I won't come together on that. No unity with false teaching.
No. Well,
yeah. Go in there. That's where Roman Catholicism is.
No.
They hold the mass in there.
I know. They're doing that tomorrow morning.
And you're part of that.
Well,
you're united to this, wearing this on your temple. You're part of that heresy, sin, and wickedness. Repent of that. I love you. Don't put your temple, if that is the temple of God. If God built...
I am.
You are. If God built his temple in your building, would you come spray paint that on it? Why did you do it on your temple?
I'm not going to stand with the Pharisees, man. I got... Look, I love you, brother. And I will pray. You pray for me, I pray for you. All right? And I will check out your site. We'll talk more. Guaranteed.
What's Levitical?
Seek the kingdom. So... Levitical law was the 613 laws given to Torah, and that comes about in Exodus, and it goes all the way through Numbers and Leviticus. I don't teach that. Okay. I teach pre-Torah.
Do you ever read that stuff? Should I read it?
Oh, yeah. Should you read it?
Yeah.
It's good history. Okay. It has all the archetypes of Jesus, and it's good history, but you don't want to read it to build your life now because that's faded away. In Galatians, Paul tells us that was the schoolmaster. Did all you guys go to public school? Yeah, so did I. Pagan public school. I grew up a pagan. I went to third grade, and guess what I did? I graduated, and then what did I do? And then what did I do? And guess what happened to that schoolmaster? When I learned enough, what happened? I left it. That's what the Old Testament was. The Old Testament, the covenant law, was a schoolmaster to show us our great need, to show us who Christ is, to show us the way. Everything was an archetype. So you asked about haircuts. The only commandment for God's men in the New Testament is men should have short hair. This guy that got in my face and said, I beat my wife. I love my wife. I've never laid a hand on my wife. Men say it all the time. Because she's obedient, they think I beat her up in the basement because she's not a feminist. This guy had hair. He looked like Sean Foyt. By the way, I preached outside Sean Foyt's meetings twice.
We went to Sean Feinstein.
That guy is a wicked carnal numerology guy. He follows signs and wonders and 222s, and he's linked with Bill Johnson. He's a grave sucker. You don't know what grave sucking is? You guys got to study better. Grave soaker, grave sucker, soaker, sucker. On my website, look up my unbiblical teacher.
He sits on graves?
You put up Sean Foyt exposed or Let Us Worship exposed. We come up fourth or fifth on Google. Got a picture of him laying on a grave to suck the power out of it. Ready? You guys know about The Chosen?
That's the same thing that Jonathan Rumi did. Yep.
What about, who is Jonathan?
Jonathan Rumi is the Roman Catholic guy that's playing Jesus.
So
my husband is.
So.
That's linked to the Mormons.
Oh, he did.
I never watched it.
Good. Don't. It's a wicked show. Ready? It's not even about scripture.
They make it up. And then I'm done here.
It's not a scripture. They're making everything up.
Wait, they're not following the Bible?
No.
Oh.
What about,
no, he's making it up.
What do you feel about Mel Gibson and the Passion of the Christ?
Oh. Mel Gibson's Roman Catholic. That movie was so Roman Catholic leaning. The next one that he's coming up with is going to be Roman Catholic leaning. And guess what? We don't need to show the images and graphic movies. Ready? Movies. What's an actor? What's the Greek of an actor? You guys got knowledge. You better start acting upon it because God's going to take your light away if you don't act on it. I tell young men all the time. You can come over. You want to listen? Yeah, come on over. Don't be bashful. Take a gospel card. You guys got knowledge. God, I tell men all the time, if you don't walk in the truth of God, what's your name, man?
Caleb.
What's that?
Caleb.
I'm Tupos. Nice to meet you.
Tupos?
Tupos. That means example in the Greek. My wife's name is Amen. That means faithful in Hebrew. Ask me why we took new names.
Why'd you take a new name?
Because as Jim, I was a worldly, carnal, fighting, idolatrous man. And my wife, as Debbie, was a worldly, drunken, harlot-dressed, feminist woman. And we didn't want to have those names anymore. And you know what allowed us to do that?
What
Bible verse tells us something like that?
I don't remember.
In Revelation, we get a new name one day, written on a white stone. We just took a new name ahead, and then I can't wait for the new name God's going to give us. So God says, Paul says, men should have short hair. Sean Foyt with his long feminist locks. I rebuked him to his face. You could see it on the video on my testing. Stood right in front of him, rebuked him. He just stood there with his grave soaking, Bill Johnson, numerology. He says his guitar has the anointing to save people. This is where this musical garbage comes from. This is not of God. But going back to Levitical law, anything was given to the Levites or given to the Israelites doesn't apply to us today unless it's echoed in the New Testament or if it's pre-Torah. He married one woman because God ordained that in Genesis. Right after that, God dressed us in Genesis 3. But now you get to the Levitical law and there's a whole bunch of go to the temple, do this, do that, wear tassels. You don't see tassels on me. And so your haircut, now when it comes to hair, should men cut their hair in like pride and vanity and looking in the mirror and spending a lot of money on it and all?
I hardly ever get my hair done.
I can tell you guys don't have a lot of pride and vanity. I see a lot of guys that do. Why are you laughing?
It's just funny. Because on a worldly like perspective, that would be an insult. From a godly perspective, it's a compliment.
Yeah, that's actually
Well, I just tell the truth.
That's a good thing. We're laughing.
I'm just